Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Isn't it good to be in downtown Gore East?
Beautiful here this morning, Rick.
Oh,
sun is shining, 35 degrees it's going to be.
How's your midweek bowls looking at 44?
Yeah, I don't reckon we'll play. I'm not too sure what
the ruling
is, but I've got a feeling that we mightn't even get on the deck.
All right, you'd be more than happy to talk about that rather than Saturday's performance, Phil. Is that right?
Saturday. Yeah, big hiccup Saturday, Rick.
Very big hiccup. Only a hiccup?
I knew it was a hiccup because I came home, walked in the front door, and the wife said, "How'd you go?" I said, "We lost." And she said, "What, to the bottom side? You shouldn't have opened your big mouth on the radio." I said, "I know."
You were incredibly confident, I believe.
I think top versus bottom, you should be confident.
So I guess you've deeply analysed the performance.
Well, I got home and Sharon was cooking tea and it was humble pie, thank goodness. I had some of that. And we've regrouped, went out last night.
Team meeting?
Taylor Cup, and absolutely flogged a very, very strong Auckland
side. Oh, I bet they were, yes.
Yep. So, it's all good. We've got to get on with it. And this week, Salisbury at home, so it's a big game.
Well,
we're second, so.
Yeah, I guess the attitude is that you just could play what's put on the grass, is that right?
Well, we got them at home, so we don't lose at home.
Well, you've heard that, folks. At the 137-second mark of the show, we do not lose at home.
Okay.
We also do not lose to the bottom side.
Except Saturday. All right, let's move on to the local bowls. The boys are waiting to listen to this. Saturday, Lindock played Mount Pleasant, Rick, and it went to plan. Lindock 112, Mount Pleasant 88. As we know, Harry Sykes leading the player ranking with his number three, Ash Thomas.
I tell you what, he's in good form, isn't he?
He is. 34-16 over Hambley,
yes,
from Mount Pleasant. So another good win to Harry Shrink. Tanunda, Kapunda, the match of the round. 92 Tanunda, Kapunda 100.
100.
Got over the line at Tanunda. And our new listener on deck from the Gold Coast in Queensland, Brett Rowland, moved into Kapunda now,
Gibbs,
and as we know, plays for Kapunda.
Yes.
Another good win, 26-19 over Sue Levere.
Very good.
So not a huge win, but certainly a comfortable victory
for Brett. Well, that's better. It's on that right side of the ledger, unlike yourselves on Saturday.
Yeah, I was on the other side of it, wasn't I?
Well, and truly.
But as we know, Kapunda have had a few very good ins the last couple months. We had Ian Greenshields, Peter Lukett. And now Brett has topped off quite a nice side out there at Kapunda. So
moving along quite nicely. They are looking very confident.
In a game that I thought may have been a bit closer, Rick, we had Newry versus Anguston. Newry 70, Anguston 124.
Oh.
So Matty Short, after a loss last week,
Bounce back
with a 38-12 victory over Jimmy Barr.
38-12.
That's a huge win, isn't it?
That is a huge win. That's almost the same gap that you blokes lost.
Don't go back to me. Don't keep bringing me up. Then we've got your Dunder and Frilling, which was like what you say, a nothing game, because they're not going to make play finals either of these. 72 your Dunder. Frilling, good win, 92. And we had Turtle Curtis, 32, to Billy Marder, 11. So quickly just running through, Rick, I'll do the premiership table.
Yes.
As it sits at the minute. Anguston, Lindock, Newry and Kapunda in the four, with Tanunda at 23 points out, which is just over a win out. You get 16, you can get 16 if you win all your ranks,
right,
and
yes,
for a win. So there's still half a chance because they play this week Freeling, and the last week they have Mount Pleasant. So two of the bottom
sides. With a chance, yes.
In with a chance, win both of them.
Although you cannot, is it right, you can't guarantee a win against the bottom side?
You can't. You certainly can't, and I know that. Kapunda have a bit of a hard run home, but Kapunda play Anguston this Friday night at Kapunda. And then they've got Newry the next week, which will be another tough game for them.
Yes, indeed.
If they win a few rinks, they'll be right. They'll be home and hose. And as for Newry, they play Lindock this week, and then obviously Capunda the next week. So they're the two sides that could drop out.
Yep,
but
yep.
If they win their ranks, they should be right. They should hang in there. So that's about it for the local bowls. Good luck to all the teams this week. Friday night game and a Saturday game this week to finish their minor round.
Oh, right.
So,
right.
And
you don't want to talk about your midweek performance this week at 44 degrees? Will not
no,
be fine.
No, I won't. No. Because I don't know that we play. I think it's too hot. So, I don't think we even start early.
Well, you'd probably be wise because given that you're back in form after, you wouldn't...
Not last night was sensational.
Yeah, just
beautiful greens.
Just imagine if you... played well on Wednesday, you could be for a downer on Saturday again.
No.
Not at home.
Not at home. Not on our new deck. That's a beautiful deck out there.
Now, I actually thought that you were unavailable for Saturday anyway.
I should have been, but I've declined the offer from, who's the coach? Ronald McDonald, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you're not going to go to India?
No.
Oh.
I should, but I won't.
Yeah, well... You could.
I know.
We'll only spend...
I can sweep. I'll take the broom with me. Hey?
I don't know. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but that wasn't even embarrassing. It was disgraceful Australian performance, and it has been in both test matches. It's inexcusable. I hope that at least they're going to be honourable enough to offer back their match payments. I mean, you know, how could you possibly perform like that? You are, the thing that staggers me, and I know they're playing in subcontinent, foreign conditions.
Yep.
But then again, when India comes to Australia, they're playing in foreign conditions, or England in New Zealand or whatever. But, and it seems, if I might just quickly say, India actually could manage to beat Australia last time they were out here. But... it's lack of preparation. It's lack of discipline. It's lack of analysis. Tell me, you know, how can you play 20 sweep shots and lose 6 wickets and the Indians play 1? You'd have thought that might send a message home.
Too much one-day cricket out here. Too much 2020, perhaps,
in
the lead-up.
Yeah, although the Indians play a fair bit of one-day cricket as well, but they show discipline. I mean, the big thing, and it's true of Travi, it's true of half of them, is that most of the Australians seemingly do not know how to occupy the crease and collect runs. You don't have to hit the ball out of the ground to score.
No.
And, in fact...
Sometimes when you hit it past a fieldsman, you can actually
you
run.
You can actually run a single.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Somebody said to me a long time ago... and I've never seen it disputed, you've never make a run sitting back in the pavilion.
Really?
Yep, never.
I'll bowled some bloody good bowls from the clubhouse, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, there's exceptions to all rules. Lack of discipline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lack of preparation, physically and mentally. I don't care whether they think the ball's going to spin. Guess what? It's only going to spin as much for the Indians when they bat on it, it is for the Australians.
Yep.
And it's embarrassing. I think I said on the previous show, or I predicted after the first test, nothing would change. It hasn't for the second. I hope I'm wrong. Nothing will change in the third or fourth. Because we've got another problem. If we list the players who you could say are either... no longer performing or at the end of their careers, including people like Warner and Smith and co, the big question is, other than yourself, have we got anyone to replace them?
No, we don't really know, do we?
We don't.
We don't know. Yeah, I'd put a little bit of question mark. Smith, Warner, Renshaw, is he good enough? And I think Nathan Lyon, I mean, he took wickets in the second innings, but... yeah, I'd put a question mark by him. Let's play some young stuff you know.
The thing that, of course, we'll never know because I'd like to think there were some discussions behind closed doors, but you wonder, okay, they've picked Renshaw, as it were, almost out of the blue to go on the tour, made a lot of runs in Sheffield Shield cricket against – Well, we don't know whether it's substandard bowling because the Sheffield Shield is of dubious nature now because most of your test squads aren't playing, etc. But it's almost as if he's gone over there with instructions or a predetermined way of playing, which sweeping isn't part of it. Well, it well, obviously, in his case, he thinks it is, but it's not. And the Indians prove that. You know, N.O.T., you know, if our coach has got anything left, he should say no one, N.O., no one will play a sweep shot in the remaining two tests.
Tell me, Rick, quickly, I wasn't aware of this rule. Warner out injured, Renshaw's allowed to come in.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Has that always been?
No, Phil, but it only goes. Have you been sleeping behind the pillar for the last 18 months?
18 months it's been in, has it?
Well, since concussion has become the flavour of all sport, they have now introduced a rule in at all levels that if you have medically been examined that you are suffering concussion or the effects thereof, you don't play a player short. You can substitute.
Wasn't aware of that.
The only sort of bylaw subcondition is that it's got to be a player of similar.
Oh yeah. Okay. A batsman. You can't bring another spinner in.
So you couldn't bring in another spinner instead of.
Okay. No, I wasn't aware of that.
It's a good rule. Really.
Quickly, while we're still in India, Rick, I have. Funny feeling why we would have taken Hazelwood and Green to India.
Very good question, Phil.
Well, I hope they're having a nice holiday over there. Wouldn't be my pick of places to go is India.
No, but I've heard that they do a few laps in the pool.
Oh, good on them. Yeah. I hope they're having a good time anyhow over there.
There's an old adage in sport, you never choose injured players. And I don't care whether, you know, Cricket Australia or the powers that be or the selection committee come back and say, oh, we expected them to be fit within days. You can't, you know, since when are they both doctors to start with, you know, meaning the selection panel. And you don't, I mean, hang on, a plane takes less than 24 hours. You leave them at home. If all of a sudden they've proved, you know, wherever they are,
their fitness,
you put them in a plane and then send them over.
I don't know. I don't know why we took them. But anyway.
No sense whatsoever.
We've got to do a local cricket roundup.
We do, Phil.
Coming into the finals, last game this week.
Correct.
One-day series.
And it's almost as equal and as exciting as your roundup in the bowls because having made a fool of myself last week on the show predicting that the final four was well and truly cemented or barring movement within the four, being Angaston, Malalar, Lindock and Tanunda, after last Saturday's results, not only is it different, but it's likely to possibly be so yet again. We've jumped to Malalar, have leapfrogged everyone, and now are on top with 60 points. But the interesting thing is that the next group of sides, Sandy Creek, Angaston, Tanunda, are second, third and fourth, equal with 55 points. But even more interesting is, and so at the moment, as we speak, they make up the four, but Greenock and Lindock are both on 50 and just outside. Now, bearing in mind, one day final round this coming Saturday, 10 points up for grabs, anything could possibly happen.
Yep.
You know, we could sit here for ages and analyse what's going to go on. But given that Lindock are playing Tanunda, Sandy Creek are playing Malalar, South Gawler are playing Greenock and Williston are playing Angaston, you're a brave man to pick who's going to win, particularly in a 40-over one-day game.
Yep.
So, and the highlight game will probably be the slogfest at Sandy Creek, where Sandy Creek are playing Malalar, and that could have a gigantic effect upon the final four. Why the table changed so dramatically was really, I really had written Sandy Creek off of making the four. However, I hadn't taken into account that they did play Newry and significantly They beat them outright.
Yep.
Now, Newry are very, very poor this season. In the past, they've been good. They weren't. Sandy Creek dismissed them for 112. They declared at 3 for 153 with Dinah, 74 not out off of 28 balls, which set them up, of course.
Absolutely.
They declared, sent Newry in and have knocked them over for 96. 112 in the first dig, 96 in the second. The Rooster, Hankey, 4 for 20, and Dinah, 4 for 36.
Wow.
Then Reece Hankey in the second dig, 5 for 25. Cool. So anyway, it's a very interesting
quickly,
finish.
Rick, what's your prediction of the... Will it stay the same now, or do you think throwing you on the spot
right,
here. Do you think Sandy Creek will beat Malala?
Right, let's put it this way. I'm not sure I'm going to answer it directly. If Malala can get the problem is that it's at Sandy Creek, and it's such a small oval, and you've got big hitters all over the place. Obviously, you've got Dinah for Sandy Creek, but you've got the Montgomerys, the Birchmores, and Brad Wilson. Now, even that may not happen or have a huge effect if Dinah gets away. You know, if he makes, you know, like last week, he's made 74 off of 28 balls. However, I will be brave enough to say this. If they get Dinah out reasonably
cheap
underneath, say 50, Malala will win. That would be my prediction. But
which means it'd probably stay the same. Tanunda to beat Lindock, you would probably
You would think so.
So it'll probably stay the same.
Yeah, I reckon.
Who knows?
But I,
we don't
but
really
I was
know.
Wrong last week, wasn't I?
So I noticed you've been wrong again.
Now, dedicated to your profession, Phil. Joke, right, of the week.
Okay. Here we go.
A postman has been working all day in the pouring rain and he'd almost finished apart from one last letter he had to deliver. He had to take it a couple of miles down a small country road and by the time he got there, he was soaked through, muddy and sore. He entered the garden, closed the gate and turned round to be greeted by two huge paws landing on his chest. There was a massive 9-stone Rottweiler standing in front of him. He was petrified. Just then the window of the house opened and a little old lady said, "Don't worry, sonny, just kick his balls." He said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, kick his balls, he likes that." The postman had on regulation size 12 military steel toe cap boots, 18 lace holes and a football size studs. He went wallop and booted the dog square in the balls. The dog went yelp, 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 collapsed with its knees knocking together. The old lady said, "You're in big trouble now, son." He said, "Why?" "I meant his balls on the grass beside you."
I'll give him a hint. You throw that letter in the bag and deliver it the next day. You don't go 2 mile down the track for that.
Well, there's a wise man speaking from experience. Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed the show. And until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.